This is RSBNB Update, episode 402, recorded Friday, March 1st, 2013. Payment required. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. No RuneScape updates this week.
What? Again?
Again!
Seriously? Can't be.
Again? I know, it can't be. That's weird. But, irregardless, I mean, we do have a couple of things to discuss. Most of them are actually pertaining to next week's quest, The World Wakes. So, Jagex did something they haven't done before, and created a, I forget what the exact words were, a narrated comic or something. Basically a 4-minute video going into the origins of Gilinor, all in preparation for next week's quest. A motion comic. So, I would highly recommend anybody interested in the history of RuneScape, the history of the gods, how we all got to where we are, you must watch this. Watch it more than once. It's definitely worth it.
It's almost like a mini movie.
Oh, I know, here we go. I know.
Go so, away, Mr. Plane.
Oh, I don't go even away. Hear that this time, but let's just get a bit of a preview here.
Our story begins with the Elder Gods, beings of immense power. For millennia, they formed worlds, and Gilinor was their perfect creation. It was also their last.
Jagex Games Studio presents The Origins of Gilinor.
Gilinor lay silent and concealed.
There's a bit of a preview, but definitely watch that. I found it very interesting, and you know, it was actually the music used in this was actually created by an actual orchestra. So the production value on this and this coming quest is very high, probably the highest they've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely looking forward to next week, which is a bit of a change, actually, in terms of things. So, on the same note, this week's behind the scenes video also talks about this quest and goes into just how game-changing it's going to be, but they don't actually give any plot spoilers. So everybody wondering, you can just go and have a listen to it. And the reason they removed all the requirements on it is because they wanted everybody to be able to play something that was going to shape the storyline so much. So it effectively is going to, from the sounds of it, turn everything upside down in the way that what we know of Gilinor and the way things are going to act going forward.
Yeah.
Did you watch behind the scenes video?
Yeah, I did. It was really nice. I really think of the other one. I can watch both, but the behind the scenes one I wasn't paying too much attention on. I was more of listening in the background as it was playing.
Also, they talk about some new combat abilities coming pertaining to this quest. So let's just jump into March behind the scenes with this. A number of changes, specifically around magic. True dual wielding, which is something we've wanted for quite a while. For example, your main hand will be able to have a certain autocast, and the other hand will be able to have a different autocast.
Right, so basically, like how they were showing in the when they were first introducing Evolution of Combat, how you could have shoot someone with a whip and shoot them with a ranging bolt. Bolt.
Exactly. Bolt. So cross class yes. abilities now for each hand.
I was wondering when that was going to come up. Because I remember you and I were trying to figure out how to do it. I was like, how the heck are we supposed to do this? And now we realize it wasn't even out yet. And
yeah, so that's good.
Cool.
Also reworking dual-wielding damage calculations to bring them up to the power of two-handed weapons in-game. So I guess this means that dual-wielding is now going to be as powerful as a two-handed, except the dual-wielding is going to be when you want to focus on a singular target, then you'll go to a two-hander when you want to do AoE.
Well, to be honest, every time I was slaying or killing other killing people in the Soul Wars, every single time I use a two-hander when I went into AoE. So I go Soul Wars and, you know, there's always lots of people. There's some more AoE type skills that I have available to me and I can do more damage. When I'm slaying, I usually go dual wielding because I can kill those things so much faster with my two chaotic rapiers than I'll do with the two-hander. And trust me, try both. But my only thing that bugs me is that for dual wielding, there's some skills that overlap and share the same cooldown, and I can't effectively, in my opinion, have a nice spread of skills that I can use for dual wielding. Two-handers is totally different because most of your skills that you have they do the basic ones and they do a lot of damage anyway. I haven't tried Sword and Shield yet. I just don't have the action bar to set one up.
Yeah, and you know, that's another problem, but what can we do? So
we need to release more.
Yes, please.
I gladly, Shane, pay for that.
Yeah. And you know, payment would be required. And I mean, why not? We're looking for other revenues to fund the game, apparently. They were looking for a way to fund the 2007 servers with an extra $5 a month. So why don't they just give us an option for those of us who don't want to play in the past and give us an option to pay them $5 more and get some extra things? Like these extra action bars.
Nah, I think you already get extra stuff with the whole premium thing. And I was just saying I could actually use more of the whatchamacallit, Solomon points.
Oh, another thing that I came to the conclusion of is that name changes. You should have to spend rune coins on name changes.
That would solve some problems, wouldn't it?
Yep. It would stop people from changing name just for the hell of it. Beside the point. Four new basic combat abilities for mages and rangers. Designed to give more choice in ability rotation and adrenaline generation, especially for deft dual wielders or two-handed titans. Highlights include the ranger's needle strike and the mage's concentrated blast, both of which raise your crit chance.
I know range definitely needs some new weapons for the mid area.
Yep.
And the problem with me with maging is you have that fire breathing skill that I find really useless because usually you want to stay away from the target.
Yeah.
What?
And it's got such a short range on it. You got to be right up to the thing. So.
And Tsunami, same thing. You have to be right next to the monster in order to do it.
For
the range, I really... okay. But the other thing is that with the range is that I actually always find that there's not enough skills in range to really make it effective in combat.
Yeah, same with
mage. I think
they
should add some more skills. I think mage can still do damage. It's just
the problem is that melee has the attack and strength abilities, and you can mix and match. Whereas mage and range only have the one from each. So, anyways, we'll talk more about that next. Wilderness Warbands. When I was reading this, it sounded vaguely familiar to something else that never came out before.
Which was?
I don't remember. I just remember reading something similar. So,
Clan Wars, in a way.
Yeah, it seems like to be a modern version of PvP or something like that. So,
or
like,
the
for
Hunter.
Example, it says... let's see, where is it? The Seers are worried about the disruption and balance of power, and they plan to bring opposing forces together to counter the growing incursion. To do this, summoners will need to brave the hostile wilderness, conduct secret rituals to bring force the opposing forces in battle. Gameplay-wise, it'll be a feast of stealth combat and old-fashioned skilling with some fantastic rewards available. So does this seem, you know, here's the problem with this. Just saying. We already have something that was supposed to be in the wilderness that sounds a lot like this. It's called Stealing Creation. And,
okay.
You know, do people still do that minigame?
Yeah, I've done it, especially for hammers.
I know, but do people still do it in vast proportions?
Mm.
Like they used to?
Don't know. I haven't been down there in a while.
Okay. So, before this update comes out, let's just say we were to update Stealing Creation instead. Stealing Creation used to be in the wilderness. Surely there's some way that this could be accomplished, this Warbands type update with Stealing Creation, maybe.
It's gone.
And it's even deals in thieving, farming, construction, mining experience. So, I don't know. I just wish we'd see a Stealing Creation update instead. But anyways, moving on, we'll judge it when it comes out. Easter update, not much to say there. Game changes. They're changing the trial system
again.
I like this one.
You
start off as a free player. Berthorpe and Taverly, part of the free game, as well as the associated quests, and free players to train member skills up to a maximum level of 5.
Yeah,
I think they've been saying this for years.
Free to play, train these member skills up to five or whatever. I wonder if you're allowed to go down that dungeon.
Probably. Or I think there's a dungeoneering tutorial there. Well, no, dungeoneering is a free-to-play skill.
Well, I mean the dungeon about? To go down to the Blue Dragons. You know, that dungeon.
Oh. Interesting.
Because then you have to find a way to block it. Because then again, can you imagine all the free-to-play coming in and suddenly everyone's getting dragon bones up the wazoo?
Well, that would be a bit of a problem then.
All those bots. Oh, it'd be funny as hell. I've seen all those bots go after each other trying to fight more one. We'll get onto the bots later on. We got some good news on those.
This is a good way to actually get people into the farming skill, come to think of it.
A lot of potatoes.
Yes. All right. Red Energy update. That should be interesting. Because this was supposed to come out when EOC was released, but it was delayed. So, the Run Energy update.
Oh. Where's the Run Energy one?
So, increase the restore rate for all things Run Energy related. Also adding an auto-run feature that will automatically put you into run mode once you have the necessary energy. And leveling your agility skill will still be the best way to keep on running, even more so at lower levels. I knew I got 99 agility for a reason.
Yay,
anyways,
so this is good for me when I'm making my glories.
Yep. Other changes this month include flower games and other risk gameplay activities that are around the Grand Exchange. Exactly what these changes are and what form they take is going to be up to you. They built a variety of solutions from rules changes, content changes, and even their own versions of the game. And we're planning on chatting to you to work out the solution that works best for the community.
Making an NPC that does it?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And you know, like if this is gambling, I'm going to say once again, I think this is something that the game has needed for quite some time because this thing's been a problem for years. The only problem is that they need to make sure it's age-gated appropriately.
Hmm.
All right.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens when it is released.
Yep. And moving on, as you mentioned, the war on bots continues. 20,000 gold farming accounts banned, all members, in addition to a huge number of free-to-play and trial accounts.
Mm. So remember, this is part of their anti-bot technology, Botwatch, and it's showing its teeth. This is a huge blow against gold farmers, and you should see the difference in game right away. These new anti-bot systems are limited to gold farmers, however, users of third-party clients and botting software also being aggressively targeted by the newly updated Botwatch.
Excellent.
We will continue our zero tolerance policy stands of keeping bots out of the game.
Now, when you think of a gold farmer, that includes things like the dragon bone hunters, not so much the gamblers, I'd say, dragon hide gatherers, that sort of thing. So, regardless, hopefully this will be a good update and certain areas will be targeted. I haven't really gone to check, but I know one of the hot spots before was the Abyssal Demons. They would always be botted for their ashes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take a look at runecrafting that path in Varrock. And if it's very little, you can tell it worked. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many of them are in RS07 right now. How many bots there are?
Why did the Armadil crossbow just take a dive this past month?
Mm. I have no idea. I haven't looked at it.
Oh, I should have been following this when I got back, because I need one of these crossbows. It was down to a low price of 5 million. Damn.
So what, it shot back up or went even lower?
No, it's up to 7.7 right now.
Hmm.
But anyways.
Well, maybe because of this update. I don't know.
Yes, anyways, that's it for RS updates this week. So we're moving on to questions right now.
And
I should also mention for everybody else that we do have a focus coming up later. But just because of our small amount of RS news, we decided that the questions are going first this week. So, first one, an audio question from Maremska.
Hello, Sneaky Shane and Temple Trekking. Maremski here. Sneaky Shane could have told me that you're going to New Zealand. Could have flew down there and have a brew with you. Anyway, I guess you need a white party hat and two max cash dash to meet up with you. Anyways, my question this week is, what is a Winky's farm? Or what that teleporting gnome teleports you? I have no idea even for this farming. And also, it's nice to see old RSBNB community members come back to the site since the 07 old school servers release. But not that I condoned them, but it's nice to see them back. Fred Bot. And what is the deal with Fred Bot? What soul have you implanted into him? Always picking these super money sinking skills. And do I semi-sense a bonus XP weekend? Anyway, love to hear your thoughts. We're up to go out.
All right. So, yeah, Maremska, I didn't tell you about that because I thought Australia and New Zealand would be a little bit too far away for you to come. So that's why I figured I don't need to mention that to him because, you know, it would be a pretty expensive flight. But, you know, if you wanted to do that, I should have maybe told you, but maybe next time, if there's ever a next time. But, all right. So the leprechaun that you can teleport to on the tool leprechauns, that is Vine Sweeper, believe it or not. It's a farming minigame that nobody plays. It came out, I think, about maybe a year and a half after farming came out. So essentially, it is the RuneScape version of Minesweeper. For anybody who hasn't played Minesweeper, the objective is, of course, to clear the grid as much as you can without running across the mines. So we got effectively the same thing like this in RuneScape, except rather than mind, you're trying not to dig up the seeds. So that's what that teleport is, and it's called Vine Sweeper.
Yes, so basically if you want practice, just open your Windows computer and type in Minesweeper in your search bar, and out it comes. Have you ever beat Minesweeper, Shane?
I think once.
I mostly play it on the easy one. My record was 3 seconds on the beginner's level. Everything just lined up very well. I will never get that number, that record again. Those that can do the advanced and intermediate, you're better than I am.
Okay.
My favorite one was I would make a custom Minesweeper and make it like 100x100 and have 10 mines in it. And so basically you click one time and every single mine is usually exposed. It was just some stupid thing I did when I was 6 or 8.
You're 6.
Yeah, it was that if I was out when I was 6.
Okay.
I think I was.
But anyways, the second part of the question deals with skill of the month. You know, that is entirely random, what skills come up. It's just very weird that summonings come up like 3 times in the last year. So there's really nothing we can do about that. And there's no spirit implanted in it, so it's nothing really to worry about. You just got to kind of live with that as you go. So I'm sorry for it being such a such a money drain.
Mm. Okay.
All right.
Next. All right. So this question is from Scream Truth. Shane, I know you love farming, so my question is it worth the loyalty points to get the tier 4 green fingers aura? And also, what would you put an 800k XP quest reward into? Alright, I think Shane's going to say yes to getting the aura.
Actually, I'm going to say no, because it's not worth it, really. Because it only runs for, I think, about a half hour, and the way farming works is that each time you plant a crop, there are certain cycles that each one goes through, and each cycle, the crop can either grow on to the next stage or get diseased. So what happens is that when you run the Green Fingers aura, it runs for that time period, except that during that one cycle, it can't get diseased. But for all the other cycles, it can get diseased. So it really only runs as long as you're logged in. So that's something to think of if you really want to be spending that much money on it. If you're not doing anything else, I mean, you might as well purchase it. But if you're going to do combat or whatever, and you're going to end up using some other aura, it's really not worth it. And it's definitely not worth it for things like trees and whatnot that take hours to grow. The best thing you could probably use it for would be sweet corn or herbs at the very least. So just keep that in mind when using it, and that's why I would recommend it as a purchase.
Okay, and what would you put 800 XP quest rewards into?
I wouldn't give 800,000 experience from a quest reward.
No, what would you put into?
Like I said, I wouldn't give that much.
It was just a question. What would you put that much experience into? Which skill, Shane? Shane?
Do you get to use a lamp and then decide when it gets used?
Probably.
Hmm. Well, it would depend on the quest. But if I could have 800,000 XP in one skill, it would be summoning.
I'll put mine in prayer just to get 92 so I can get soul split. And if I could split it up, I'll probably put the rest into range. I'm so lazy getting range up. I really should. But I just can't deal with the range skills because they're just so bad right now.
Yeah, we need more ranged equipment, don't we?
Yes, we do. Well, it's not the equipment. I'm fine with equipment. I need more skills.
Mm.
Need more ability. Okay. So, Shane.
Thank you, Scream Truth.
All right. So, Shane, when you take the next one? This is directly to you anyway.
This is from Duke Juker. Shane, what's it like being old? Got any words of wisdom? Duke Juker. Why is that funny?
Oh, Shane. The thing is, I'm still older than you.
Yes, and not many people know that, but... You know, I was mentioning to someone, I forget who it was, it doesn't feel any different at this stage, so I don't see what the point is in thinking about it, because there are times when I get asked how old I am, and there some of these times I actually do need to think about the answer, so...
I know. Yeah, basically, here's all right, for all you younger people. This is the God honest truth. From age 0 to age 18, you will remember your birthday every single year. You will tell everyone your birthday every single year. The second you hit 18, you don't care until you hit 21 or whatever the legal drinking age is in your place. After 21, the only thing you have to look forward to is your retirement date. And the space between 21 all the way to whatever that is, you
US
will...
/wiki/special:\search?\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*\*
Equals gun? All right, this is a clip show thing right here, Shane.
I'm sorry.
No, this is a clip show material. You're putting that on a clip show, dude. That's going on a clip show. That's my page.
http://www.rsbandb.com/runescape-grand-exchange-portfolio-search=??
Okay.
But words of wisdom. I would say live life how you want to live it. Don't be afraid to make changes that will influence you for the better. Because you will feel better about them, and that is that will improve your quality of life in general. And also, if you have an idea about something, don't hesitate to think about whether you want to do it. Just do it.
And let's see. And as I said, between 21 to your retirement age, you will be doing math to try and remember how old you are.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We can probably ask our general grandfather RuneScaper and see what he thinks on that subject. I like picking on Dano. Oh wait, should I have said his name out loud? All right.
Anyways,
Shane, what's the next one?
Yes. Thank you, Juker Duker.
Juker Duker.
Next one is from King Kala. Dear esteemed hosties of the podcast, that is RSBNB Update, do you feel proud of your country, and is there a fine line between patriotism and just being an uneducated windbag? Your friend King Kala.
All right. Shane, are you proud of your country? Yes or no?
Yeah, you know, I think it's the best place in the world to live. And not just because of being an uneducated windbag. I mean, there's lots of things that we have here that other people don't have. I mean, we do have a good amount of freedom. You know, one would think that the U.S. is the place you go for freedom. But in reality, I think freedom in the U.S. in the last, I don't know, maybe decade or so has gone down in terms of... personal liberties and whatnot, and of course all that primarily comes from big governments, even the George Bush, who was supposed to have smaller governments but still had big governments, but that's a topic for another day. Another good thing about Canada, I think, is that we're moving forward while also still maintaining a certain level of responsibility. You know, I guess you could say responsibility in terms of governing and whatnot. Hence, our conservative party is, I think, one of the most modern conservative parties out there in the modern world, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. Like, last week, the week I got back, they just instituted an Office of Religious Freedom. So, I mean, all sorts of things like this are being made. It's not the typical type of government that you would expect from a conservative party. They're actually moving forward and advancing, as I see it, freedoms and whatnot. So, yeah, I do.
Cool.
And yes, there is a fine line between patriotism and just being an uneducated windbag. There are lots of Americans who are uneducated windbags who claim to be patriots.
Okay. All right, do I feel proud? Yes, for one thing, there's no snow in the area, so we actually get sun throughout the year, unlike you up there, Shane. And is there a fine line between patriotism and uneducated windbags? Yes, just ask, what is it? Ask the HK dude in Star Wars. What?
Is that someone in mind?
No.
Okay.
No.
And what makes you proud to be who you are?
What makes me proud to be who I am? For one thing, I don't have to walk outside and worry about getting shot.
See, there you go. And that's something else. I mean, people are always complaining and whatnot. This was my prime argument back in the olden days
of the
Occupy Wall Street movement. And, you know, I would have discussions with people and I'd say these people who are protesting need to be thankful that they can actually go outside and do this without being shot, that they can actually walk outside without being shot by a sniper from half a kilometer away. They need to be happy that you might be the 99% in the U.S. or a developed country, but in the world, you're a member of the 1%. I got a perfect picture for this. Let me see if I can dig it up. It sums everything up so nicely about the Occupy Wall Street movement and how it was so misconstrued. So, and you know, that's just something I think that people need to be proud of, is that you might be in the majority of lower income earners in your country, but in the world you're in the top 1%. And in the world you might think your freedoms are being encroached on, but in reality the freedoms we enjoy in the Western world are supreme. The amount of wealth we enjoy in the Western world is supreme. So that's something that needs to be considered, and I found the picture, and it will be in the show notes.
Joy.
Have a look at it.
I see it. All right. Let's move on to the next one, Shane. Thank you, Kankala. Gula. All right. This question is from Peter. Dear Shane and Turkey, sorry for my bad English last week. I tried my best to send an audio question with a Finnish greeting. As I said, Shane, it was not Chinese. My question last week was, how do you feel that Tsunomi gets the max XP that one person can get? Thank you, and with warm greetings from Finland. Peter, how do you feel that he can get complete max XP now? I say congratulations on actually, you know, spending all that time doing it.
I have to say that, yes, that's a good accomplishment, but what else have you been doing with your time, and what else are you going to do in the game in the future?
Well, there's hopefully a new skill coming out. Quests are still coming out. Maybe he'll go bounty hunting or something. But no, maybe he'll go PK, kill more people. Or go just boss hunt. Maybe. They always do. Let's see. Let's check the high score really quick.
He should still be the top, I think.
Yeah, he's still number one.
Yeah. Anyways, but there was actually a bit of a controversy about this. He was invited to head on over to London to celebrate this with Jagex. And it got canceled because of something or other happened. So, you know, it's just a kind of unfortunate that someone would do this. I don't really want to talk about what it was, but let's just keep this in mind that even though this person has the max XP in RuneScape, they still did something to offend Jagex and something in general that really wasn't deemed good behavior and wouldn't be good behavior publicly. So.
And I'm just looking up on our old buddy Zezima. He's ranked 119th. So yeah, he's still playing around.
He's rightly retired.
Hmm.
Anyways, yes. Thank you, Peter. And yeah, I'm sorry we couldn't understand you last week in your audio question. We tried our best.
We didn't really try. We just couldn't understand the language, period.
Yeah. All right. Next one.
Okay. This question is from Poison Nova. Dear host, it's been said many times that increasing technology makes people less intelligent. Do you believe this? Yes and no. Because I remember I was reading a post one of my friends showed me from his Facebook feed. I just had a student come up to me during music class and ask, what is this F hashtag and then B hashtag and then C hashtag? And it was like supposed to be F sharp, B sharp, and C sharp. Technology is making most adolescents stupid.
Hey, I wouldn't have known what that was unless you said sharp, because I never took music.
Yes. So basically, let's just say the music teacher cringed a little when he heard that. So, but, you know, technology has also really improved. I mean, you know, we had a thing called the internet. Look how much information that's allowed on our fingertips at a moment's notice.
You got to take it both ways. You can't... technology is required is a required catalyst. You can't just have technology alone. Technology alone won't work. You need to have thought and intelligent thought behind it. I don't know that just using technology in general makes someone less intelligent. I don't think that intelligence is governed in such a way. I think that intelligence is always there. You either have it or you don't. And I think if you do have it, you won't have this kind of problem with technology.
Yes. So, let's see. So, I mean, technology is good. It's always good to advance technology. Do we really want to go back to the days of using pencil and paper to make every single request? Even the smartest people in the world still needs a calculator.
I don't.
Right, so you can do vector calculus in your head?
Yeah. My math class where I did vector calculus, you weren't allowed to use calculators.
Now that's scary.
That's true math for you.
Okay, math boy. All right, so Shane, why don't you take the last one?
All right, so this question is from Zahara Knight. What is the best way to do tracking in Herblore habitat? I'm most interested in diseased Jadinkos for those hunter pots, and I'm having a hard time getting them in a timely manner, but need them to unlock the others. Well, it's interesting that you asked that this week, because coming up right now, in just a few seconds, we do actually have the RSpinB update focus on her Blair habitat. So Jason C. from RSpinB Informer shared his time with us, and we talked for a good half hour about her Blair habitat and how it works and the best way to go about leveling up and whatnot. So we'll just have a listen to that momentarily, but you'd need the Boneyard, no bush, a banana, and the corrupt vine in order to get the diseased Jadinkos to come out. It should also be noted that tracking is not one of the methods for good XP. So with tracking, you really just got to do what it says and look around for where the little creature is hiding. It's just like tracking in the real world, so you just gotta try your best, and it's pretty annoying, that's why it's not recommended, but we'll have a further listen to that right now on the focus. And now we're here with Jason C., and who is known by a whole myriad of bunch of other names on RuneScape, I can't even keep track anymore. We're going to be discussing the Herblore Habitat minigame with him today. He's going to give us a bit of an insight into just how useful it can be, and then we're going to try and learn some stuff along the way, as we usually do in these focus segments. And before we get going, it's also worth noting that Jason here is one of our Informer writers, so you can, of course, check him out at informer.rspnb.com.
Yep.
All right, so Jason, late in December of 2012, we fielded a question for somebody who is familiar with Herblore habitat and would be willing to come on and discuss it for a bit, and you volunteered. So you were kind enough to throw it together. Actually, you did most of the production on this, which is great. So you seem to know what you're talking about here. So first off, Herblore habitat is a little mini game on the southeast tip of the Karamja main island. And you can get there through either, you know, the usual gnome glider, or if you have access to the Shiloh Village teleports, that's a nice and easy way of getting to it. But that's where my expertise on the subject ends. Now we're going to talk to Jason. So first off, give us a little bit of an overview about what exactly Herblore habitat is.
Okay. Well, so you talked about getting there. I guess, yeah, like you said, you can get there just kind of going to Karamja and walking your way there. Or the easiest way to get there for your first time is, I believe it's an NPC called Betamax, who's in Taverly, like north of the bank, south of the Lodestone, and she will sell you, I think they're called Juju Teleport Spirit Bags, and it's about like 1 or 2K, and you purchase one of those, and you click on it, and it'll teleport you right there. And then you can buy as many as you want from her or the NPC who's also at Herblore Habitat. And so Herblore Habitat
funny
itself...
The guy's name is Betamax.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Still got a laugh about that. Yeah. But anyways, continue.
Herblore habitat, it's focused mostly around hunter, but it also has aspects of herblore and farming in it. So you won't just need a hunter level for it. You're going to need a little bit of herblore and farming levels, too. And so the general process of it, it involves all the three skills, is you're going to hunt these Jadinkos, and instead of like getting Chinchampas or something like that, you get these seeds and these vines. And so you plant the herb, or the seeds, which are grow herbs, and you use the herbs and the vines that you get to make potions. And then those potions are useful. Some are useful inside Herblore habitat, and some of them are useful outside Herblore habitat. And so the biggest focus is on those potions, and then also Herblore habitat's the best experience in the game pretty much once you get to level 70 or so.
Okay. Yeah. I assume you mean hunter experience.
Yes, hunter experience. Not, you don't really get too much herblore farming, but yes, hunter experience.
Okay. Now, also with this, what kind of magnitude of experience are we talking about here compared to, say, red chinchampas or butterfly catching?
I can't quite remember how much experience the butterflies or the red chinchampas. I know that red salamanders, that's the common thing to do, like in the 60s and the early 70s, is around like 150k or so, maybe. No. Maybe around 100k or so. And when you first start out, you're going to hunt common Jadinkos, and those are around 100k or so, and they're not too much better, but they're mostly good for collecting seeds on your way to 80 or so. And once you get to 80, you can do the Draconics, which are the best from 80 to 99. And those are going to start out at around 170k an hour, and they can work up to almost 300 at 99. So it's a pretty big curve. Yeah.
So Hunter is probably, in this way, one of the fastest skills in the game that a person can level using this. So it makes sense to listen on into what we're going to talk about here. So we're going at this with a primary emphasis on Hunter XP and the potions that you get later on, but we'll get there. So now that we know a bit about how it works and where it is, how exactly does it work, and how do you get started when you get there?
So when you get there, each Jinko, I believe there's, I want to say 10 of them, 10 normal ones, and then there's 3 god ones, but we'll leave the god ones for later. So each of the 10 Jadinkos has, you have to attract them, so to say. And so each one of them has a different combination that you have to use. And so inside the middle of Herbler Habitat, there's a tree patch, a bush patch, and a flower patch, as well as it's called a feature. And so the first ones that you're probably going to hunt are commons, and all they take is any color flower. And so there's 3 color flowers, 2 types of bushes, like 3 types of fruit trees, and then like 7 or 8 different types of features or so that you just build with a... Actually, you need a construction level for that. I forgot about that. Or you can pay the NPC there to do it. But yeah, essentially, you just... There's a certain combination for each Jadinko that you can look up, and that's where you get started.
Okay. Do we have a chart at all for the combination?
Yes, I was actually going to, at some point, want to recommend the unofficial wiki page for this is very detailed and very good as far as the charts on it go.
All right.
So I would definitely recommend that.
Find a link to that in the show notes at update.rsbmb.com. I believe this is going to be on episode 402. So just look up 402 or click focus on the left, and then there will be a... link to the focus notes in that episode. So that's where you can find the notes for this. All right.
Yeah.
So the 10 normal types and the 3 god types. So what do we do after we got the normal types?
As far as XP goes, the best, it's about commons from like a 70 until about the mid 70s. You're going to switch to, how do I pronounce this? Igneous, I believe
Igneous,
is what.
Yep.
Yeah, Igneous. And those are going to be a bit better experience once you hit around 75, 76 or so. And they're also useful because they give you the vine for the farming potion. And so that's one of the more useful potions. And so they're also, so they give the vine for that potion and the best XP once you get the mid 75s. And so their combination, if I can remember right, there's an orange tree for them, and I want to say it's a blue flower, an orange tree, a lurgberry bush, and a thermal vent. And so that's not going to make sense to most people now, but once you get going, that'll make more sense.
And then once you set this up, I assume the creatures just come out and you trap them like you normally would.
Yeah, essentially. So you, there's this little area in the middle. And so you have to set up, you have to plant the seed for the bush, you have to plant the seed for the tree and the flower. And then there's a selection menu for what feature you want. And then once you set that all up, the Jadinko will pretty much come out of the ground. And no matter what type it is, it'll come out of the ground, and then you can start hunting them. And then, it's called Marasma plants, and it's pretty much the same thing as box trapping. It's just a different type of trap, I guess.
Okay. Now, a question that came up, and I never really did get answered when this update first came out, was that, yes, we know what the combinations are, but how much time does it take to, say, get the ingredients? Because you said it was some vine or whatever that you needed to get the Igneous Jadinkos to come out. So the question is, how long does it take to get the requirements for, say, the Igneous Jadinko? Like, could one do that in an afternoon or an hour or a couple days?
So, yeah, so essentially you need, yeah, you're going to need, so the fruit trees, those, you're going to need some of those for, you're going to need fruit tree seeds for some of the Jinkos, and those can, you can just get off the GE because they're, I think it's apple, orange, and banana. And then all the flower seeds, there's three types of flower seeds, all of those can be bought from the NPC who's at Herbal Habitat, and they're all like maybe 5 GP each or something. It's really cheap. And then the features are for free. You just have to build them. And then what else do you need? The bush seeds. You get those as well as the herb seeds from the common Jinkos. And so since the common Jinkos, all they need is to attract them, all you need is a flower seed, which is really cheap from the NPC there. You pretty much, when you start out getting XP, you're going to get all the seeds you need from the commons before you have to move on to do other Jadinkos. So, you know, you're pretty much going to get all the seeds you need on your way to getting the levels for the higher up Jadinkos.
All right. So just to recap, then pretty much every seed that you need, you can get from a common Jadinko.
Exactly. And you can also get them from, you know, the Jadinko lair, the fire making place, which is actually just underneath it. If you kill the Jadinkos down there, and then if you burn the roots down there, you can collect seeds and teleport bags from like the favor points. And that's also a good way to get them. But if you're going to be hunting anyway, you might as well do the common Jadinkos because you can get enough seeds you need from them.
Okay. Now you brought up the fire making place underneath. Is that at all related to Herblore Habitat, or is that just something separate that people don't need to worry about?
It doesn't. I mean, if you're focused really on just Hunter XP and Herblore Habitat itself, you don't really need to focus on, as far as like the lore goes, quote unquote. It's, I mean, the Jadinkos live under there, and then when you have the combination correct, it will attract them up to the to the surface, essentially. But as far as hunting goes, you don't really need to worry about it, no.
All right. So to recap, there's a couple important Jadinkos we went over. There's the common Jadinko, which is good for your starting off XP and your seeds. Then we got the Igneous, which is good for mid-range XP and the farming potions. And then let's talk about the last three you have here on this list.
Yes. So once you get higher up, some of the Jadinkos, including the Draconic Jadinkos, which are the best XP, are going to need, you have to add a potion called the Juju Hunter Potion onto the flower. And so you know, the conventional type of hunter is, you know, it's similar to box trapping. You know, you lay out the traps and the animals run into it and then you pick them up. There's also another type, which is, it's called tracking. And it's, you do it in some quest. I can't remember what the quest is called, but
I think it was the Defender of Rock.
But you like search a bush and like there's a track on the ground that appears, like a trail,
right,
of footprints, and it's like that. And so there's like three types of Jadinkos that you have to capture that way, and one of them is called, they're called the Disease Jadinkos, and their vines are used to make the Hunter Potions. And so you take, once you have these Hunter Potions, you use them on the flower, and they attract different types of Jadinkos. So, yeah.
Okay, so that is the point of the diseased Jadinko, to make the Hunter Potion for the Draconic Jadinkos later on.
Exactly.
All right.
And then the Zamorak, I have Zamorak next. What those do, those are another god. Let's go with Draconics first, actually, now that I think about the order of these. So once you hit level 80, the Draconics are going to be the best XP that you can get. And those take a Hunter Potion and then another certain combination that you can look up. And I mean, essentially, it's pretty much all the hunting is similar. You just, you know, you're laying the traps out and, you know, you pick them up. And those vines are also used for the mining potions, which are also another common potion that people like to get.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
That's level 80 hunter then.
Yes. And then once you get to 81, there's three types of gods.
I'm going to stop you right here.
Sorry.
You should ask this. Level 80 Draconic Jadinkos, best XP. What kind of rate are we talking about here?
It's going to start out at around 165, I would say, if I can remember right. But once you get up to around 99, it'll reach just under 300K an hour if you're going hard at it. So it's a pretty big curve.
All right. So the god Jinkos now.
Yes, and so the god Jinkos. So there's a Zamorak, a Ceridome, and a Guthix Jinko. And so the Guthix Jinko, it'll give you vines for these potions that increase your herb lore experience, but you only get that bonus experience while making juju potions. And since you don't make all that many juju potions, they aren't really worth it. The Ceridoman ones, the potions that the Ceridoman ones give you are, they give you bonus farming experience, but there's only one tree patched there. So, I mean, it doesn't really help that much. But the Zamorak ones, they give you vines that you can make what are called Zamorak favorite potions. And they give you 10% bonus XP while hunting in herbal habitat. So it's a worthwhile potion to get once you get maybe to level 81 or maybe a few levels afterwards. And so you can, you know, do an hour or two of those and you should have enough for several million experience.
Wow.
And just to contrast those, so those are Zamorak favor potions and they give you bonus XP when you drink them and then all your XP is boosted for 5 minutes. There's also these potions which are called scentless potions, which all your traps are, what is it, smoked, I believe it's called, the language they use. And so these aren't really worth getting. Because it takes, you have to get them via tracking. And so the time you spend tracking isn't worth the time saved via the scentless effect.
Right. Yeah, because I remember starting off a conventional hunter. The tracking XP was definitely the slowest. And really, I think tracking overall is pretty slow. So
yes, because you have to sit there.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, you have to run around following this thing and then you might not even catch it. So.
Yes. All right. So to summarize that, Draconic is the best XP overall, and Zamorak Zamorak favor potions give you a 10% XP bonus in hunting in herbal or habitat. Nice. All right. So now, assuming someone like me is just heading there, wanting to get started, we're going to start off with the common Jinkos, and then. Work our way up. What's the general progression we should take? Because myself, I'm level 83 hunter. So if someone's in my boat right now, they never done herbal or habitat, what do they do to get started? What do we bring? What trajectory should we follow?
Yeah, so I think it kind of depends. If you're above 80 and you've never done it, you might take a different path than you were if you were below 80. Because if you're above 80, you can start the Draconics right away. So it might be better to gather seeds from down below at the Jadinko lair by either fire making or killing the Jadinkos, because I think it's a little bit faster to get seeds down there, and so that way you can get started on the Draconics a lot faster.
Mm.
But if you're below 80, generally you just want to you're going to want to do commons until about 80 if you're just looking for seeds, or if you also want to do some if you also want to make some farming potions. You should do commons till in the mid 75s and then switch to, once you have enough seeds, that is, and then switch to igneous until about 80 or so. And then once you have enough seeds, you can start doing draconics.
Okay. While we're on this here, oh man, I forgot what I was going to say. Well, let's just continue on. So commons best until late mid 70s and then. Gathering seeds at that stage, then draconics after that. How many traps can you use there? Is it governed by the same old hunter stats?
Yes, it's. I think it's you get five at 80, I believe it is.
Oh, okay.
And then I think I wrote down you want to get the max traps you can put down plus one, and you buy the traps from the NPC there, and they're also like, you know, a few GP each. And so the best way to do it is you have your five traps on the ground at any one time. And once you click on, like, if a Jadinko is gone into your trap and you're going to collect it, the best way to do it is click on the trap. And then once you start bending down to pick it up, if you start spamming clicking on the trap that's in the extra trap that you have in your inventory, it'll cancel the animation. And so it saves quite a bit of time. And so that's why it's good to buy. Like, if you can use five traps at once, it's always good to have six. So that way you can put the extra one down
right
while you're picking the other one up.
Okay. So let's talk about progressing through this this mini game here. So what do we got to say on this?
Okay, so Yeah, you're going to want to gather seeds for a while, and then the witch doctor clothes. That's going to be something you're going to want to focus on once you start get going on it, once you kind of understand the process of this whole thing. And so just like you have the is it the grok? Or is it the grok clothing for certain areas, or like the winter?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you have the camouflage pieces. And so the camouflage or herbal habitat is called witch doctor pieces. And so the only way to get those is you have to catch one type of each Dodinko in a week. And so it's the same rolling week for all the other weeklies. So it starts at Wednesday midnight GMT and rolls over to the next week. And so if you can catch one of each type in that week, then the NPC there, his name is Papa Mambo, he will give you a random piece, either the top or the bottom. And so in general, you just want to, each week, that once you kind of figure this out, each new week, you want to try and catch one type of each Dodinko. And this process can take about, I would say, 10 to 15 minutes, because you just have to, you're going to want to set up the combination for any given Dodinko, catch it once, change the combination, and repeat until you've caught all 10. And then he'll give you
10 to 15 minutes per Jadinko?
No, per piece.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
Because I mean, setting up the combination and then catching a Jadinko will take you maybe a minute or two, and then you have to do it maybe 10 times.
Okay.
And one thing I wanted to note is, so the highest Jadinko is the Draconic, that is not the gods. And so you're going to need 80 Hunter to get one of these Witch Doctor pieces, because you have to catch one of each type. But one of the things that's helpful is if you've done the quest to unlock the city of Ooglog, do you remember the name of that off the top of your head?
As a Last Resort?
Yes, that one, As a Last Resort. There's a pool there which will boost your Hunter level by like 6, 7, or 8. It depends on what your Hunter level is. And so this can make it really easy to get the pieces before level 80. Because if you can go jump in that pool and then teleport right to Herbler Habitat with the combination already set up, you can catch the Jadinko right away, and then you can get all 10 Jadinkos without actually having 80 Hunter.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of setting these combinations up, you say it takes 10 to 15 minutes to catch all the Jadinkos in 1 week, correct?
Yes, I would say about that, yeah.
So that's 10 to 15 minutes for all the types, not just one type.
Correct.
Okay. And now, with that, don't some of them require, like we were talking before, the farming patch to be grown, like the apple tree or banana tree or whatever?
You don't need the tree to be fully grown as long as it's not diseased. If it's planted and growing and not diseased, it will count.
Good to know.
And one of the things that's tricky is, so in the process, you're going to have to dig up certain like growing plants that are still growing, and they won't actually have the option. Like if you right click on them, not all of them will have the option to clear them. But if you use a spade on any of them, it will give you the option to do so. So that's a helpful thing to note when you are going for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a common thing in farming in general. If you want to clear something, you can just use the spade on it and then do that. So, All right. So now the top and the bottom, you say it's random. So like other randomness in RuneScape, can you get multiple copies of the same top or bottom?
Yes. I've known people who've gotten, five bottoms without getting a top, or, vice versa.
Okay. Well, at least there's only three pieces.
Yes. And so, you mentioned the third piece, the mask. And so how it works is the top and bottom, you only have to catch 10 of the regular ones in 1 week, and then he'll give you a random piece. But in order to get the mask, you have to catch all those 10 in 1 week, as well as those three Gajadinkos in that same week, and he will give you a random piece, and then he will give you a mask for sure.
Okay.
And that acts as the third piece to the outfit, as well as the mask, which is nice. It gives you unlimited teleports to Herbler Habitat, so you don't have to buy the spirit bags and teleport there.
So for someone who's going for 99 Hunter, this set is definitely something to get. I don't know if you know this, but when you have the three-piece set, does your camouflage increase as you add more to the set, or is it an entire thing where you have to have all three in order for it to be giving you the camouflage?
I'm fairly certain any one piece will help more than nothing. Okay. So, yeah.
All right. So now that we know how it works, you have a list here of useful potions. And it doesn't look like there's that many useful potions that you want to take out into the real world after you do Herbalar Habitat.
Yeah, some of the, like, the unuseful ones are, I mean, there's a fishing one, which, I mean, it allows you to catch baron sharks, but, I mean, fishing sharks isn't very good XP anyways, and, I mean, it's not necessarily worth going out and doing, because I think the baron sharks that you can catch with the potion hail an extra maybe 200, and so you're better off just fishing rocktails and getting more HP from those, and, I mean, there's a few that just aren't really that worth it.
All right. Well, which ones would you recommend?
Yeah, so the ones I would recommend are the farming ones, which I talked about earlier. And those can, they give you, when you drink it, you have 5 minutes. And during that 5 minutes, you have a 1/3 chance of any herb that you pick, you'll get a second one. And so, you know, you have 5 minutes, which is plenty of time to do a herb run at all 5 patches. And so I think the average herb per patch is, but you get about 6.8. And while drinking this potion, you get about 10 or so. And so that's really useful. I mean, it'll increase your profit by quite a bit.
Which is something you definitely want to do in this state of the economy.
Yeah, exactly. And then, the next ones I have listed are the Juju Mining Potions. And so these are useful if you're going for mining XP down in the, especially the Living Rock Caverns. And so while you're drinking these, for 5 minutes, there's a chance of what's called a rock spirit coming out, and for 30 seconds, it'll bank your ores. And so I believe Uncle Dano talked about these back on the LRC focus.
He did.
Yes, and so these are very useful if you're going down in mining, because instead of having to run back to the bank constantly or just dropping all of your ores and wasting them, they'll get banked for you, and you don't even have to worry about it.
Okay.
And then so the next one I have is the Juju Hunter Potions, which I mentioned earlier. Those are needed to catch a lot of the Jinikos, or I guess not a lot, but a few of them in Herbalar Habitat, as well as the Draconics, which are the best ones that you can catch. And so I would say you need about maybe 200 or so from about maybe in the mid-80s to about 99. And so
that's not very many.
Yeah, it's not too bad catching all of them. You know, it's going to take maybe an hour or two or a few hours to get catch all the diseased Jadinkos and make all the potions, but it's definitely worth it. So, yeah. And then the last ones are the Zamorak Favors, which give, like I said, a 10% bonus XP to Hunter while hunting in Herbal Habitat. So they're definitely useful to get because, I mean, they're not too much slower to catch than the Draconic Jadinkos. And once you... You know, it's about the same thing. It's about an hour or two of catching them for all, you know, all to get all you need for 99. So once you finish with that hour or two, then, you know, you've saved yourself a lot of time.
Sounds good. What about the Juju cooking potion?
The cooking ones. Those are used to make what I believe are called Juju gumbos. And so... I wouldn't say they're really worth it, again, just because they don't, I mean, these Juju Gumbos don't take much more than, they don't heal much more than a Rocktail does, and it's a fairly tedious process to make one. It's not the easiest process, really.
That's unfortunate they're not more useful.
Yeah, it's the biggest thing is, like, one potion only works for 3 Juju Gumbos, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah. All right, and then I see we have a woodcutting potion as well.
Yeah, the woodcutting one, it's useful if you do Arctic Pines because it'll bank the logs for you, but those can easily be dropped. But if you're going to do ivy, which is probably the most common method, they're not useful at all for ivy, right. So I wouldn't consider them too useful.
Yeah, so if you're doing conventional woodcutting, you might as well use the woodcutting potions then.
Yeah.
Okay. One question pertaining to this, the seeds and we have a chart for how to get the certain Jadinkos to come out. Do we have another chart as to the steps needed to make each of these potions.
Yes, I believe it's the same on that wiki page that I mentioned earlier. I believe there is also a guide on which vine you need and which herb you need to make each of the potions.
All right.
So and there's again, also, while I'm mentioning that wiki page, how I said there's you have to catch all the Jadinkos once per week in order to get one of the pieces. There's a step-by-step guide on there, which, like, because to get one of the pieces, because if you're thinking, you know, you go into it thinking, well, I have to catch one of each of these 10 Jadinkos, and there's all these different combinations. What's the best way to go about it without wasting all these potions or wasting all these seeds? And so just under the guide for how to attract each of the Jadinkos, there's a guide on which order to go about doing them if you want to get a Hunter piece, or a Witch Doctor piece, excuse me.
Very good. I don't think there's anything else that we need to mention pertaining to Herbalar Habitat. Just in summary, it's a good way of training Hunter these days. So hopefully this has helped you guys out there who want to train Hunter faster. Jason, do you have anything you'd like to add on before we close off?
I don't think so too much. It definitely could seem intimidating once you get starting, just because all the all the different combinations and Jadinkos and all these different things are going on. But once you get the hang of it, it's not too bad. And I really stress this wiki is really well done, this page. And so I would definitely recommend checking it out if you're going to get started, because it's really helpful. But besides that, that's about it, I think.
All right. Very good. Back to the normal show now.
All right. Well, I guess I hope you all had a great chance of improving your Hunter and Herbalar Habitat. So I guess now we can move on to tech news. We got some interesting stories for you too.
Let's just remember that you can send in your focus ideas to us. Just head on over to the RSBNB Update webpage and choose suggest a foci on the side, and then you can fill in all the info with what you suggest, give us a bit more information, who we should contact. That's actually the most important thing here, and your name, so we can get back to you if we need help contacting this person. But yes, let us head on to tech news right now.
Okay.
So, first up, iTunes U crosses 1 billion downloads. And this posed an interesting question. Have you ever used it?
I've never touched it.
Exactly. Lots of people seem to have forgot about iTunes U. For anyone who doesn't know, it can be accessed freely in iTunes for the most part. It is essentially a collection of courses from around the world that you can take for free. Just download them into iTunes. You get the notes, the lecture materials, and hopefully you can learn something from them. They got all sorts of interesting things. They got programming, chemistry, algebra, entrepreneurship, playwriting, virology, probability. So pretty much everything you can think of. If you wanted to learn a bit about it from an accredited source, you can actually find that on iTunes U. So definitely something to keep an eye on if you're interested in this sort of things. But 1 billion downloads, which is pretty substantial. And, you know, it's kind of a shame that there's not much more of an emphasis on this. Because if you think about it, where does the emphasis come from on iTunes U? I mean, Apple doesn't, like, advertise it or anything. It's just sitting there in the iTunes store.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to see. So.
All right. Excuse me.
Let's see what the most popular course is. iPad and iPhone app development. Understanding happiness. Financial markets. English as a world language, creative writing, statistics, the new entrepreneurs, leading wisely, astronomy, and a whole bunch of other ones. See what iPad and iPhone app development. Interesting. All right, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So check out iTunes U. Hey, maybe we can get you a math course.
Why?
Because you said you can't do math without a calculator.
I said that even the smartest people cannot do math without a calculator, depending on the subject.
Oh, okay. So you didn't say you then?
I did not say me. I know my basic math.
Unlike okay, most other 2 people. Plus 2?
5.
200 plus 202?
5.
The correct answer is 402, the number of the show we're doing this week.
5.
All right.
There are four. There are more than. There are 5 light chain. Remember that. I'm surprised you didn't get that reference. Jeez.
No, I did. I did. There are 4 lights. That's what I wanted. All right. What's next?
Well, we have your other one, the real story of.
Oh right.
Stunix.
Stuxnet.
Okay.
Stuxnet was the malware program that attacked the Iranian nuclear centrifuges, and this is a bit of a detailed document of how it worked and how it infiltrated it, and just how they were able to get it in, and the fact that we know now for sure that this was a state-sponsored worm. And that somebody actually decided that, hey, we should attack Iran with this. So nobody's really owned up to it yet. But the lead suspects are the U.S. and Israel, which would make perfect sense, right?
I would also say England. England probably has its hand in there with MI6. I mean, remember a couple years ago they did change the Al Qaeda homepage to how to make cupcakes.
Anyways, so, but yeah, if you're at all interested in the way security flow works or how a virus works or how a worm works, this is definitely something good to read. And it's an interesting article for all of us who are interested in computer security because it teaches us that we need to be a little bit more secure sometimes with what we do and just what exactly is coming into our network. So it shows that computer security in applications such as industrial development and what are those things called? Basic resources? Like what the water and electrical grids, what are they called?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But water and electrical grid security, it shows that those are still in such a basic state that really, if somebody wanted to, they could probably attack those and be much worse than Stuxnet. So it's a lesson for everyone, but definitely a good read.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what have you got?
All right, well, it seems Java just had another exploit. God. Yes, again. And this was from today, about a couple hours ago. It seems a security flaw, if triggered, leads to an arbitrary memory read and write in Java Virtual Machine. If successful, the attack code downloads a MRAT dropper and information-stealing trojans onto the victim's computer. So, Shane, you know more about this kind of stuff than I do. And basically, it disables the Java in your browser, and it could prevent you from turning off your computer or something like that and steal whatever it can.
Yeah, exactly. Once it gets in, it can do whatever the heck it wants. And that's the problem with Java is you got a full-fledged programming language that can run in applets on your browser, which, you know, really, I mean, back in the olden days, they thought this was such a good thing. But nowadays, we're really seeing the problems with it. And it seems as though Java has more vulnerabilities than Adobe Flash does. So... you know, the best way to protect yourself, everybody listening to this who is using Chrome, is follow these simple steps. Do it with me right now. Go to the Chrome settings, click the 3 little bars on the side, choose settings, and then go to the advanced settings, and then click on content settings, and then scroll down to Plugins and choose Click to Play. That will enable plugins like Java and Flash that you actually do need to click on them in order to make sure that they can run. That's the best way about going about this to ensure that you're not going to have any kind of issues with this.
Okay.
Or better yet, if you just play RuneScape using the downloadable client, just uninstall Java. Because you don't need Java if you're just using the downloadable client.
Do we need Java anymore?
No, after RuneScape switches to HTML5, we're not going to need Java anymore.
So basically everyone can just remove it out of their computer.
Yep. And, you know, Java's actually found a space in Android development for it to be used as an actual programming language, which is good, and that's probably the place that it should be at right now. So, anyways, that's kind of unfortunate that we have to end on that note, but regardless, just be safe online. Don't run any Java applets that you don't know what they're going to be doing on your system.
Okay.
Thank you for that one. I wasn't aware of it. Yes.
Yay.
Moving on to other things. February Skill of the Month is wrapped up. That was the Strength Skill of the Month. Undoer maintained his lead through the entire thing, pretty much. And he finished with a grand total of 11.6 million experience gained. Second place was JAM and E52 with 9.6, and third place was Parnassius with 867,000 experience gained. You almost need a logarithmic graph to see the progress of everyone else, given the fact that these guys gained millions more. And the skill of the month for March is summoning.
That's going to be funny.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, we might be due for a bonus XP weekend. And it seems that whenever summoning is chosen, there's a bonus XP weekend. We had summoning in March, or in October 2012, June 2012, March 2011, September 2010, March 2010, June 2009, and February 2008. So summoning is a very expensive skill, and it's amazing we've had it chosen three times now in the span of a year. So I see what our question earlier was getting at, but I can guarantee that all these summoning skill of the months that come up are completely random.
Unless Fred is having a conspiracy with Jagex. Never know.
Could be. Anyways, so congratulations to you, Undoer, and we look forward to seeing what happens in this summoning skill of the month.
All right. Let's see. So now we move on to achievements of the week. We have two achievements this week. We have Parnassius with 99 fishing on February 25th.
Yay! And the other achievement of the week this week is Undoer with 99 strength, which is, of course, not surprising given the fact he won the strength skill of the month.
That's probably why he was doing it, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, it makes sense when you gain 11 million XP and you start off at 3 million. So you end up at roughly 14 million, give or take, I think. So,
yeah.
Good job, everyone.
Yay. So, Shane, now we have our pick of the week. I believe you had a pick.
Yes, I do have a pick. It came to my attention that a piece of software that I used for OS X was updated, and it now works flawlessly with 10.8 Mountain Lion. The piece of software is called Quicksilver. It got its hooks pretty deep into the operating system. It worked pretty well in 10.4 and 10.5. Tiger and Leopard, but once everything switched to Snow Leopard and whatnot, it kind of stopped working the way it should, and it kind of fell out of favor in that I didn't use it as much as I used to because I just couldn't do the things I wanted to with it. But that's changed now, so it works in its full glory better than ever. So I do have to recommend it. It's free and open source. It's called Quicksilver. It's an application launcher. It also lets you search your system. It also lets you do pretty much anything you can do with your keyboard or with your mouse, with your keyboard. So as an example, let's say this is a good example. So let's say I want to show Trekkie a collection of my StarCraft replays. So what I can do is I know all my StarCraft replays are in my Dropbox/public folder. So what I can do is I can go into that folder and then I can say search contents and then I can say SC2 replay because the file, you know, ends with SC2 replay. So what you do then is you can say take everything inside this folder, the Dropbox/public/StarCraft folder, and then once you're in there, you can say find, and then you can say SC2 replay, then you can do a select all, then you say compress using zip, then you get the zip file, and then after that, you can say take this zip file and email it to a certain email address, all with your keyboard. So basically, if you don't want to touch your mouse anymore, it's definitely a good thing to do. That's just one example of the way you can do it. Another thing you can do is you can do web searches. So that's what I was trying to do earlier in the show. I probably edited it out, but it'll be on the clip show later. But what I was trying to do is I was trying to do a search through the RuneScape Grand Exchange portfolios, and I was trying to search for Armadil. So what I accidentally did was I pulled up the Grand Exchange portfolio, and rather than searching, I told it to speak the URL. So that's what you heard.
http://www.rsbandb.com/runescape-grand-exchange-portfolio-search=***.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to do when I accidentally did that earlier. So, yep, so that's Quicksilver. I think you can get it at qsapp.com, I believe. Let me just check that. qsapp.com. It's a great little piece of software. Every Mac user should have it. Anyways. I'm done. What you been up to?
Should I really say it?
Yes, please do.
I found a job.
Oh, good.
Yes. After 3 years, I finally got a real job.
Do you want to tell everyone what it is? Or
I am going to be working at the Veteran Fair Medical Facility in Palo Alto, which is about a 30-minute drive from where I am.
Okay.
Yes. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
So I'm happy. I finally get to make some money and actually make a difference.
What else have you been up to this week?
I almost used up my entire skull boots in agility, almost to 90 agility, and did a couple of sinkholes and a couple of dailies in my ports. Finally got to the pincer area, which is the last part. Got my fourth ship, and the rest of the week, I was just in class. Oof.
That's good.
So,
all right.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So I started working once the background check goes through and they see that I haven't been a criminal.
Well, yeah, we probably know you haven't been a criminal, so.
They don't.
That's a good point. Very good point.
Yes. So I'm happy. I get to be like Dana, who gets to work for a living.
Congratulations.
All right, I'm done.
All right. Okay. As for me this week, I haven't been doing much. I did a bit of programming on my one little application I'm working on, working towards an actual release of that, an official release. And I've been still doing a bunch of housekeeping stuff that needs to be done after I got back. So haven't really been doing much RuneScape. Did a farming run here and there, herb farming run. So, and by the way, those free bank boosters from the Solomon's General Store, you can still get those. So they are not time limited. I got my free bank booster. Nope.
I thought they were. Hmm.
So I was happy about that.
Yay.
All right. So I believe that's it for this week. We will have Earth on the show next week, as we had planned to do this week, since the quest will hopefully come out next week, barring all catastrophe in the UK. So let's fingers crossed that we'll be talking about the quest this next week. With that being said, we'll see you next week, everyone. Have a good weekend, and remember to send in those audio questions.
Yes, bye-bye.